This podcast is given to you by Arloka David Smith, teacher and founder of the Dharma Mind Buddhist Group. For more information, please go to dharmamind.net.
So, couple of topics today. One I'd like to remind everyone of Vaisak and just reflect on the Buddha for a few moments. Let's come to that second. But I think maybe I'd like to take the opportunity. I'll just give you a brief overview of my experiences over the last month, rather than indulge in myself with it, which I guess I could, I'd just like really to point to a couple of features of it, which, from a Dharma point of view, I think might be useful for you. So I try not to get too caught up in myself, but as it's coming from that sort of experience, I might do, but I don't want to indulge. But anyway, yes, a couple of it's been quite a quite an experience, I guess, for the last month or so. For those of you that don't know. I can't think when it was now. Some weeks ago, I've been told that I got cancer, and just sort of having to, as we all know, cancer is probably the most emotive word in the English dictionary, and we associate that with death. So to have that sort of dumped on you out of the blue, I might add. It becomes a great cause of reflection. I think it's something that you don't park somewhere. You have to, you know, it's something that you have to sort of think through, ponder through. So, and of course, you know, when it sort of comes out the blue like that, it takes a few days to digest, at least. Because of the impact and its potential, its possibility, the possibilities with it. So, you know, it is obviously a major event, something I've never experienced before. And just very interesting, because I am one of a person of reflecting, looking within, watching my mind continually, which I've been doing since, well, at least 10 years old. I don't know if it goes beyond that, but I can think back to about 10, where I just watch myself and in all situations, and just as a sort of a mirror. And, you know, whatever. Just essentially, I've always been fascinated in trying to find this person who I'm convinced I am. Started very young, and not so much of a puzzle anymore. But that reflective habit, which is crucial, which is just part of my makeup. I mean, I can only talk for myself, so I can't talk for everybody else. So it's been the whole thing has been just sort of watching the mind and just watching, you know, the emotions and the whole experience, a unique experience, one that's, you know, it's a serious thing. I mean, it's something that, I mean, anybody, any of us can ponder, you know, serious things like this. We can all have our thoughts and ideas and assumptions and what have you with it. But until I think it's actually put on your in your lap as your sort of reality. I think I don't think you really you obviously can't really appreciate the impact. So so there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing with it, but really I think there's just a couple of things that became quite prominent, if you like, within it. One of them very much at the beginning, sort of thinking that my... Well, first of all, when I was told, I didn't know, I didn't have the information that I have now. And so I thought, well, maybe I've got a few months. So it's fairly imminent, actually. This is what I thought. So I was sort of... I had that to look at, that it I could be moving on quite soon. And, well, it was interesting, actually. The major experience around that was just sort of reflecting on my life. It made me reflect upon my life and thinking, well, you know, it could be all over soon. So I just sort of turn back and look back over it, and it was something very emotional, actually, because what came out of it, more than anything, was gratitude. To look back and think I've had the opportunity in this form to be able to reflect upon myself, reflect upon life, to get to know about life, to get to know the mystery of life, rather than be like we assume animals that don't have that possibility. They just follow their instincts and they live and they die. We also have plenty of instincts that we follow, but we also have that possibility through self-awareness, which is one of the human qualities, a unique quality, where we can actually reflect. And to look back over the years and be grateful that I've had the opportunity to use that faculty, which I think I have used. As I say, I can go back to when I was a young child, when I started to access that. And the privilege to be able to get to know life and get to know myself, which is only a dominant feature, a big feature within that, because you're faced with it all the time, and you soon come to realise that it's something that dominates your experience of life. But actually, also to be able to just look beyond me, as it were, and just soak in, reflect on the experience of life beyond the self, or mixed up with the self. But clearly there's something that it's not all about me, it's not just closing in on me and reflecting upon me, but actually also waking up, being able to ponder, to be able to get a taste. And I think that's really what it is, not much more very often, just get a taste of what we're in the middle of, what we're in the midst of. Something quite, I don't know, I've never been able to find the words, the wonder. I mean, they're all words that are banded around quite freely, and it's very difficult to find the words to describe the feeling, that the experience of what we're in the middle of. Something quite incredible, wonderful, Of course, we lose that so often because we're so caught up in ourselves and our own inability to step beyond ourselves, but only put these blinkers on and be absorbed by our own self-image and the dukkha that we experience and the unsatisfactoriness to the extent that life becomes, for a lot of us, becomes a very unpleasant experience. We all experience that, but hopefully there are times when things are okay, you can step beyond that and begin to realize that actually what you're in the middle of, and just how unknowable, how ungraspable it is, and how small you are, and how we can be so caught by ourselves to the extent that we don't realize what we're in the middle of, what we live out of. And that's very unfortunate, because us humans have the ability to step beyond our instincts, step beyond self-preservation and always looking out for ourselves, and where everything in our life is for me. What can I do for myself? As I say, this has got to be the lot of all the other sentient beings, but us humans also have that, and can be as equally possessed by that as many of us are. But we also have this other faculty, and to be able to use that, to find it, to tap into it, to be able to grow into it. This is what I was very, very grateful for. The opportunity to experience life in a human form, and to wake up to the wonder of something that's beyond me. And to, as I say, to realize, to acknowledge that actually I've been doing that all my life. And to have that opportunity, I just had so much gratitude. And if it comes to an end, well, there you are. It's going to come to an end anyway. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing. It's going to come to us all. But for most of us, of course, we don't know when that's going to be. But it is, as we all know, it's the one guarantee of life's experience. And it's good to actually, I found it was good to find myself in that position, not so much in fear, but in gratitude. Because it could have been so different, as it is with most humans. Most humans don't have this opportunity. I've travelled the world, as many of you have, and you know how difficult life is, probably for the bulk of humanity, that you're lucky, or your focus is to live from day to day, and if you've got enough food for today, then you're doing okay. There are no horizons to aspire to, other than fill your belly every day and shelter and all the basics. And if you travel around, you see that such a large percentage of humans, that's their experience of life, and that's all they experience. And then one day they die, and that's the end of it. All their life struggling just to exist, and then they die. But for me, that's not been the case. I've never had to worry about where the next meal comes from. So I've never... I've had the opportunity and the gratitude to that I've been able to turn my attention away from those basics and make use of that other part of me that is not the instinctual part of just living, but actually that part of me that's a part of the great mystery, and is the doorway into the great mystery, into appreciating what we're in the middle of, not to let it pass us by with resentment very often. So many people hate life, and this is just rubbish. And for me, that's never been something that I've had to really confront, but rather I've had the opportunity to be able to step beyond all of that stuff and devote so much of my time, my attention, even my lifestyle, never mind my day-to-day attention, on opening up and tasting the wonder, the awesomeness of life, and realizing that, you know, we are like, it's so difficult to find the words, we are like us humans, we have this uniqueness that we're almost like reflective vessels for that which is this great creation, so that it can enjoy itself, it can see itself, can realize itself for what it is, because in itself it can't do that. It can only just be. But the human form, it's almost like it sets up a mirror so that it can appreciate itself. I don't know if that makes sense. I mean, it's very difficult to find these words. And to be that, and to have the privilege to be that vessel, that thing that can see and enjoy and appreciate this incredible experience that actually we are a part of it, we're actually more than a part of it. And once we can get beyond the delusion of self and all that that creates, we see that it's eternal and it's going nowhere. It's never had a beginning, there will never be an end. And it abides in this eternal wonderment. You know, and I've tasted it to some extent, but it's only a taste. But to have the privilege to be able to devote so much of my life to that quest, or to that invitation, I think probably is a good word, that invitation, just filled me with so much gratitude and joy, even though I was also looking to think, well, you know, I could be falling off the edge at any minute. Somehow that didn't matter. And also just to realise that, you know, there's a part that clearly doesn't want to die, that wants more. And I'm thinking, well, you know, that's just being greedy. You know, you've got so much. Be grateful for what you've got and not want more. I don't want to die, I want more. I want more, more. Give me more of what? You know? And I know, you know, this, I guess, is the, you know, this can be the experience for many people, that when that comes, you know, you've always got another phone call to make, as a friend of mine used to say. You know, you don't want it to finish as always, but to actually, well, no, thank you, because you know it's going to end. Thank you, be grateful, and make peace with that, rather than resist the inevitable, because it's going to happen, and it will happen to all of us. So to make peace with that things are going into change, that's the inevitability of that it's going to go into change. And who knows, I mean, I've never had a problem with the continuum of life, that it's a continuum, and it's just a case of impermanence, things turning over and taking new forms, new shapes. That's never been an issue for me, not for a very, very long time. But to just you know, being faced with that, having that experience of one of gratitude. And I think, you know, that was for me, and what I'm saying is I'm not, it's something for you also, is to actually be grateful that you're in the human form, that you have self-awareness, and that you're using it. You've come to the Dharma, and you're using it. You're reflecting primarily upon yourself, but hopefully there are times, maybe you do, or times in the future, you'll be able to open yourself up to more than just looking at yourself all the time. The self is the big impediment. By all means, that has to be dealt with. But in that aspiration, you can also begin to appreciate, you know, where you are, what you, just living here in this. Well, it's mysteries, I suppose that's the word that you use. I mean, I think all words are so piddly. I mean, I don't know what word you can use. Just something, the unfathomable, the mystery, the wonder. There is something that's happening that is not you, that you can't grasp and will never be something that you ever will. But what you can do is open up and embrace it. And not with a mind of I've got to understand this, because you never will. That's the self. But what you can do is just, wow, you know, this is amazing. And I am so grateful that I have the opportunity in this life to be able to look in that direction, begin to open up, maybe invited to feel that you're a part of something far, far greater than another part of you thinks. This other part of you thinks that you are some isolated little being that's in a mode of continually looking after itself and the tension and all the difficulties that go with that. But actually realise that I'm a part of something far greater than that, and that is something worth opening up to, something worth looking at, something celebrating, if you like, that there is I can be liberated if I can just let go of this fixed point that creates all the difficulties, to step beyond that and actually experience something that's vast and warm and eternal. And I think, as I say, to me, you know, we're all doing that to some degree, but be grateful that you've got the opportunity. Don't be resentful to life and to things in it. Okay, we can do that so easily, but also have some gratitude that you've got the opportunity to liberate yourself, but not to just to liberate yourself, but to actually wake up to what you've always lived in the middle of. And I think that's incredibly positive. That really shakes the foundations of this, of being so wrapped up in yourself. Poor me, and all the negativity that we can get caught by, and all the dukkha and suffering that we can experience in life. I feel so poor me that we don't even begin to get a taste of actually what is beyond that. What is our birthright actually as humans? We are given the gift as humans to be able to transcend this thing that we're all caught by. We should be grateful, because animals don't have that. Animals just create karma for themselves that perpetuate themselves in that condition. And we can be like animals and perpetuate ourselves in that condition. But we can also step out, change, learn to say no, refocus, acknowledge the faculty that we got, acknowledge the potential that we have, and embrace that as something positive and a gift. And that's what, rather than feel resentful and rather, you know, like the position that I've been in, sort of facing the end of the road, as it were, and the fear, and, you know, the resentment that many people might have when they come to die and have a bitterness towards life, as many do, without doubt, a negativity towards life, and now, my God, now I'm going to die, and I've got this fear and all the rest of it. But actually, rather than go down that road, enhance the faculty, enhance that potential that we got. And even if whatever you manage to mature, understand in your life, you know, we're all in different places. We can't all be in the same place. But when you come to the end of the road, to look back and say, well, I've done my best, because that's all you can do. You can never do more than your best. And be content with that, rather than be resentful and negative and fearful. Fear that you're now going to die and you're not fulfilled. But actually be grateful for the opportunity that you've actually been able to make some inroads into this thing that we're all caught by. Be grateful. Say thank you. Be positive. Make peace with yourself with it. So then that has got to have a big impact on this. What is attachment? Everything comes down to attachment. You have attachment. Oh, I don't want to let go. I don't want to die. I've still got things to do, and I don't know where I'm going and stuff. And you hold on, and you hold on, and you hold on, and you're holding on to something that you can't hold on to. Whoever you are, I don't care who you are, you can't hold on to that, because ultimately, this is the fate for all of us. So rather than fight the inevitable, look at the positive. Look at the, as I say, be grateful that you've had a life where you've been able to reflect. None of us have the life where we get up every morning wondering if we're going to be able to feed ourselves today, or clothe ourselves if it's cold, and have a shelter over our head. We've all cracked that one. All of us Westerners, even the poorest of us, can always take care of those basics. Be grateful for that, because there's an awful lot of people in this world, humans in this world, don't even have that. And they just fight every day just to exist. Be grateful. Don't be resentful. Be grateful for that, that you can take a huge part of what the animal kingdom, of which we are, of course, a part of, a large part of which completely dominates virtually all animals in the animal kingdom. We can actually just put that to one side. We've done that. And open yourself up to that gift that the animals don't have. We should be grateful, be positive of this, say thank you to whoever you direct your gratitude towards. For us, for me anyway, it's my inner nature, that part of me that's not a part of all this, that I am, I don't need convincing of, is what you touch when you die. And that to me was one of the major things that came out. And not just sitting and thinking about these things, like I'm now, I'm just finding words for, but actually when it's in your face, and it's like your reality, that this is what's going on. It has a lot more impact, I would say. And I mean, there were times there when I was quite joyful about it, which is crazy, you know. But And I don't think that's delusion. I don't think that's to be joyful about that, about the end, and to be grateful and to be joyful of the opportunity. I think that's quite a good place to find yourself when they're, rather than being wracked with fear. And if you don't use that faculty that we've got, that's that ability to reflect, that's where you're going to probably end up. You're going to end up terrified. Not that it has any reality, but it will have a reality for you, and it will be absolutely real for you. But you have the opportunity to not have that experience, to not have that when you come to the inevitable end, of which it is inevitable that it is going to happen. So rather than turn your back on it, turn into it and say, and none, as I say, none of us know when that time is going to come. And I found that was one of the big things. So rather than, well, I don't know, imagine that I'm going to be wracked with fear. I mean, that's still not a, you know, that's not a pleasant sort of thing to look at, because you are going into the unknown, and the unknown is always a bit, it can be very exciting, actually, but it's also, there are mixed emotions, let's put it that way. But to be able to come to that, and to be able to have a sense of gratitude and even joy, is something that all of us can have. All of us can have this experience. But it means that you have to use that the jewel that we're all born with, and make maximum use. This is called commitment. This is a long road I'm going around to come back. It's commitment to make maximum use to that potential that we've all got, so that when the inevitable does come calling, you can have the right frame of, you can be in the right place to have that experience. And I think, you know, that's what I'd just like to offer you with that regard. That was much more at the beginning for me over those first few days, that when I didn't know that actually I may have a little bit longer here than I thought, that it may not be such a doomsday thing. So that sort of immediacy, if you like, sort of receded. But nevertheless, that's still there. And, you know, make up your mind how you want to face it when it comes. Because you don't have to be wracked with fear, you know. Believe me, you don't. And the other bit I'd like to offer you, and which actually was that ran from the beginning, and it is actually something that's actually been, and I've mentioned this to several of you anyway, because it's, and this was the major feature of the whole thing. Again, because you're given, or I was given such a serious scenario. So this is not like a theory, which you can talk about things in theory and blah blah blah, but actually when it's tested, I think that's the thing, when it's tested and it's like, you know, is this theory or is this is it really working? And being able to keep that in play, keep that in train from the very beginning right up to now, and see why I've not been consumed by it. I've not been become the victim of it, of this whole thing. Why is that? Why do I feel actually okay about? Well, not okay. What's the, I don't know what the word neutral. or acceptance of it, that this is the way it is, and if this is what's going to happen, that's the way it is. So I've not made a problem out of it. I've not made a mountain out of a molehill. If you can call your imminent death a molehill. which actually you can. We make it into a mountain. This is my point. We make it into a mountain. Because it's the biggest event in our lives. Well, of course it is, and it's the thing that terrifies us more than anything. So, you know, that's a mountain. But actually, it starts off as a molehill, actually. And for me, through the whole thing, without an act of will, without an act of blanking it off in any way, I like to feel it's never been more than a molehill. And I'll tell you why. It's because, and I've seen it just by talking to one or two others who've got this sort of condition, and just seeing what we do when we're told that we've got the big C, an hour that just releases the emotions and the fears and all the rest of it. And what do you do when you're told? You immediately start to project. Your imagination goes crazy. I've got cancer, I'm going to die, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to... all the horrible things that happen to you when this thing takes over, and all the ifs, buts and maybes about it, creating all sorts of scenarios, consumed by thoughts and pictures and projections, and seeing that the whole lot, all of that lot, that molehill becomes a mountain because of projections. There is no mountain until you project. There is no mountain. You make the mountain because you start to live in the future. You start to project. It's going to be like this. And you create scenarios. You've got very little facts in what you're creating. There's a lot. You're given facts, but then you use these as the ingredients to create these pictures, stories, thoughts. All negative, of course. There's nothing positive about any of this. But what you do is that you create all of this stuff. This is called living in the future. You're projecting, you're creating, and then you get sucked into it, you believe it, and by God, that's when you suffer. And you suffer like crazy. But I found with me with this, and I guess it's to do with my training over the years, but I'm just, you know, I'm not expecting you necessarily to be able to pull this off, but it's something that you need to know. You need to know that you are making the mountain. That the mountain isn't there and you discover the mountain. You are literally making the mountain because you project. You live in the future. If you can just stay with what's... and say to yourself, I don't know. It can be like this, and you've got no time scale. I can't be certain about any of this. I can sit here and use my imagination, and I can create all sorts of pictures and get so emotionally caught. And this is not just a simple... this is very, very deeply emotional. The emotions get very deeply wound up with this, caught up with this, until you make yourself into a mess over this thing and what you think is going to be your life, your very short life, and all that's going to happen in the meantime. All of which is nothing more than your imagination, because none of it's happened. None of it's fact. None of it's fact. It's your imagination. You are creating it. You are creating the future. You are creating a self-image and all that goes with that. If you don't do that, if you don't go there, if you don't fall for the trap, fall for the temptation, because all that's doing is reinforcing the self-image, that I am this person and I am now going to suffer and I'm going to go through all of these things. Me, 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 me. This is me. These are my experiences on my very short journey to my unpleasant death. Me, 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 me. That's all it is. You create the mountain. If you can... I don't know. I don't know. All I know is now, is this moment, and I am like this. And I refuse to get caught up in creating tomorrow, the next day, next month, next year. I don't know. Here I am, and I'm just, all I know is how I am at the moment. And you just stay with how you are now, today. If you can do that, then you're free of dukkha. It's that simple. Yes, you've got pain and you've got stuff going on. That's pain. You turn it into suffering through projection, through the self-image, which then by its very nature is always one that's living in the past or living in the future. The self doesn't live in the present. You create the self by embellishing the information that you have, and you begin to create stuff that actually has no reality other than what you've made in your mind. This is not concrete. And I found over this time from the beginning that I just don't go into the future on it. Although, like I said, I did get this thing that maybe there's a few months in it, but I didn't make a problem of it. Because I'm not stupid. I am a human and I am capable of thinking of what's going to happen, but not to be caught up in it. That's the key. That's the secret. Of course, you've got to plan and you've got to... But it's being caught up in it and then you embellishing it. There's your suffering. There. And that is your imagination. Because none of that exists outside of what you're creating. You create it. There's your suffering. And I look on these weeks. I don't think I've suffered at all, actually. I've got pain, and I'm not free of it now, and it's going to be a while. But I can see that I can make a mountain out of this. And if that little monkey comes along that wants to make the mountain, or whoever makes mountain, I don't think monkeys make mountains, do they? But you know what I mean. When that monkey comes along and wants to make a mountain, no, not going there. Sorry, not going there. There you go. Okay, that's me. I'm not suggesting that that's something that everyone can pull off. I'm certain that that isn't something that we can all just do, you know, to such a degree. The message is, you are the one who is making the mountain. And you can have an experience like this. And most of us will have illnesses in our life, you know, life-threatening illnesses. There's not too many of us get away with that one. If we lived a reasonable age, you'd be damn lucky to get away with that. So you're in that position, and you're in a position where you've got this potential to make yourself suffer. And that's your creation. You are the creator. So you are the creator. You can then determine, I'm not going to create that. Okay, I've got this condition, and it's like this. And then that's it. You finish. You cut off. You don't get involved with it and begin to embellish it. And all of that embellishment has no reality. It is a figment of your imagination, because you don't know, nobody knows the future. What is the future anyway? Is there such a thing as a future, actually? But whatever it may be, you don't know it. Nobody knows the future. So why are you going there? Why are you making an issue out of it? When you do that, you're creating dukkha for yourself. And that's what we have to learn to do with this training, is to see that we are the creator. You create your own dukkha, your own suffering. You create your own suffering. Therefore, if you create your own suffering, you can learn not to create it, or you can undo it. You can learn to let go. You can learn not to go there, not fall into the habit, which is all self-identity. If you didn't have a self-identity, you wouldn't live in the future. You wouldn't project with anything. The future, well, you'd know the reality of the future, and you wouldn't indulge in it. Of course, you would plan your week out. Don't misunderstand that. Of course, we're humans. We've got intelligence. We've got things to do. Don't misunderstand that about living in the future. Of course, we do something that animals don't do. We can plan, and we can build a life for ourselves by planning our life and having a goal at the end of it. But there's a vast difference between doing that and then getting emotionally involved with that and then becoming consumed by this and creating scenarios around it that have no reality and get lost in that, and the inevitable sort of negativity that almost invariably comes around these things that actually have no reality. And actually, as I think most of us can experience, that when we're projecting things and we have... And then when we actually come to do it and we look back and blimey, it was nothing like I thought it was going to be. Of course it's going to be nothing like you thought it was going to be, because you don't know what it's going to be. How should you know? But you convince yourself. And then that creates the self-identity, and then you just get so dragged down by it. And one or two people I've spoken to who've got potential... of this condition, you can see how they're so caught up in emotional... You're projecting. You don't know the future. Why are you getting caught up in it? You don't know it's going to be like this. And if it does turn out to be, you know, something unpleasant, you still don't know now what it's... So why go there? And that's something for us, all of us, in our day, not necessarily about something as... I mean, this is a big event, and it's like really been put to the test. This isn't theory, this has been put to the test. But of course, this projected thing applies to practically everything that we experience, everything in our daily life. We're projecting all the time. We're not planning, but we're embellishing things all the time. With self-identity, you are the creator. If you can just not do that, learn to declutch from it, because it is a habit, make no mistake, it is nothing more than a habit. And if you have a brightness and an aliveness to you, which we're always saying that this is about awareness, that you have an awareness and you watch yourself and you're aware of yourself, and when this thing begins, comes in and starts to want to create something, then you say, no, not going there. Break the habit. Don't indulge. Once it takes you over, you're off. And then, then you get the suffering. And for me, that was actually that's been the thing that's been the most obvious thing all the way through this, that I feel, you know, up to now, I'm not projecting on this, I'm only telling you as it is up to this moment. I don't think I have suffered with any of this, to be honest with you. Pain, yes, of course. Suffering, no. Because I don't project. It's that simple. It's really that simple. This is not complicated. This is black and white. You don't project, you don't suffer. You may have pain, but that's the way it is. That's certainly when it comes to the body, its nature is that it's unstable, things happen, and all sorts can happen, as we know. That pain, but what do you do with that pain? You're presented with something. Here's your pain. What are you going to do? You're sitting on the cushion. Your legs begin to hurt. You're given the pain. What are you going to do with that pain? Is it now become my pain? Oh, my legs. We all go through this. And hopefully you realise that you can't avoid the pain like on the cushion. And you have to learn to just accept it and to go with it. And in the end, in time, it fades away. Or you can make real self-identity around it. And when you my pain, my suffering, why me? And all the scenarios that you then, oh my, I'm going to be a cripple, I'm never going to do, oh, why am I doing this, why am I here, my legs, all that, they're suffering for you. There you are. There's a perfect example that all of us can come up against even today. Do you accept that this is just the way it is, and you bear with it and you stay with it? No suggestion it's pleasant. Of course it's not. Do you simply bear with it and go with it and wait for it to go into change, or do you project onto it? And then that thing that was a molehill, which is unpleasant, molehills aren't pleasant, I'm suggesting they are, that molehill becomes a mountain. Then you suffer. And you can experience that yourself on the cushion any time. And that's one of the great lessons, is what I love about people who aspire to cross their legs on the cushion. Not everyone can do it, and that's fine. But if you want to do it, you have invariably got to go through lots of stuff in order before that you settle down with that. There you have the opportunity to see the difference between pain and suffering, between accepting something the way it is, and then you begin to project. When you project onto it, and you can see, or you should be able to see, how you're making something which is unpleasant, that you turn into something that's very unpleasant. That's a mountain and a molehill. You are the creator. And if you can see through that and not go there, learn to say no, because it's all about reinforcing the self, creating the self. It's my suffering. It's all me. There's no projection without a me. It's all me. So you learn to wake up to that. Wake up to it with the jewel that we got, the jewel of reflection, to see it. I say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. And if you can do that, then you go beyond suffering. And then all the things that life chucks at you, daily things, and something like this, a major event like this in your life, you can actually experience it without suffering. And if you can do that, you know, you can realize that, you know, this is called freedom. You are free from the self. And that is what could be an absolutely horrendous thing, becomes something that you go with, and it comes, and hopefully it goes into change, and you move on. And that, to me, that is that's the thing that shone through more than anything with this. And I think that's absolutely pure Dharma. I think it comes from training. It is not given to you on a plate, because we project, that's what we do. But you learn through Dharma training, through understanding what you're doing, to be alive to the process of suffering, how we create it, that you can wake up to that more and more, and let it go. No, let it go. Dharma training, that's the fruit of Dharma training. And to have that opportunity, privilege, in your life is something that you should be very, very grateful for. To embrace it, and not only be grateful, but make absolute as much use of it as you possibly can in your life, and not just ignore it and indulge in all the stuff that you've indulged in the past, but learn to say no. So when you come to a major event like this, you know, you just go with it. I mean, I hope none of you get these sort of things, but you know, you can go with it. And the alternative is, by God, you can take yourself to hell over something like this. But you have the potential and the possibility to just turn all of that around and let it all go and not go there. And that's the fruit of this training. If you're prepared to stick at it and commit yourself wholeheartedly, this is what is concrete with this. And I think that's very, very big. I think it's just huge. And that's what I wanted to extract from this thing that I'm going through. That you can take into your lives, into your everyday life. You don't have to wait for big events to come along in your everyday life and see how we are attached and how we create and how you make yourself suffer.